Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 o'clock. The hymns for benediction are available on the bookcase on the individual sheets that you may take and put in your hymnal. Today is the final day to receive the Sacrament of Penance before Christmas. No confessions will be heard this coming Saturday and Sunday, but they are available for those requesting an appointment. Mass schedule for this week. The Masses will be at 8:30 on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Friday's Mass for Christmas Eve is at 8:30 in the morning also. On Friday, which is Christmas Eve, there will be the Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m., and there will be the Christmas Midnight Mass, which starts at midnight, and it will be a high Mass. Saturday is Christmas Day, December 25th. We will have a low Mass at 8 in the morning, and that is for those who usually attend the 7:30 Mass on Sundays. So there's no 7:30 Mass on Christmas Day. It's at 8 o'clock. There will be a high Mass at 10 in the morning, and we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 in the evening. Christmas is a holy day of obligation. Therefore, all Catholics are seriously bound to assist at Mass that day if possible. The cleaning of the chapel will be this Monday after the 8:30 Mass. Tuesday is the feast of St. Thomas the Apostle, and of course, Saturday is the feast of the Nativity of our Lord. The O Antiphons will be continuing this week until December 23rd as a preparation for Christmas. The collection envelopes for Christmas are available in the vestibule. The 2022 mini calendars are available in the vestibule. Please place your donation in the offering box in the wall opposite the bulletin board.
Okay, a lot of announcements.
Okay. So let's repeat. So we have the blessing of the articles after Mass. We have benediction this evening. You can take those notes that tell you all the benediction hymns and place it right in your hymnal. Today is the last chance to receive sacrament penance before Christmas unless you make an appointment to see one of the priests. And this Mass schedule for this week, it's the Mass at 8:30 every day, except Thursday when we're on a retreat. So every day the Mass at 8:30 on Saturday, which is Christmas, the Mass is at 8 in the morning. And there's a 10 o'clock high Mass, and then there's benediction at 6 p.m. And the Mass at midnight starts at midnight. It sounds ridiculous, but we have to tell everybody that. We get phone calls on that day saying, what time is the midnight Mass? Although I don't feel too bad because I see that even in the diocesan paper, they put it in big letters too, so they must have a problem there. And we have benediction on Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. And the cleaning of the chapels tomorrow after the 8:30 Mass. You heard about the O Antiphons last Sunday, so I will not go into it, but they are the intense prayer of Holy Mother of the Church at the Vespers of each of these days leading up to Christmas. They all begin with O as an exclamation. O Wisdom. O Adonai. A name for God from the Old Testament. The Church pouring out his prayers for the coming of Christ. And then the collection envelopes and the mini calendars. Unfortunately, St. Thomas the Apostle, we cannot speak about. There's sermons about him. I will say this. I was once with Father at a Carmelite convent back east. It was after Easter. And he gave a sermon to these sisters. And he talked about St. Thomas. Now, in April, or whatever time of year, that's not his feast day. But of course, he's big at Easter time. And Father explained to these sisters, you have to understand how much we owe him.
He's been entitled the Doubting Thomas. And it's kind of a cruel name for him, because it's through him that we have this access to the Sacred Heart. Because our Lord, as take here your hand and place it into the wound in my side.
The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, let a man so account us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, here it is required in stewards that a man be found worthy, trustworthy. But with me it is a very small matter to be judged by you or by man's tribunal. Nay, I do not even judge my own self, for I have nothing on my conscience, yet I am not thereby justified. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, pass no judgment before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and make manifest the counsels of hearts. And then everyone will have his praise from God. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was procurator of Judea, and Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother, tetrarch of the district of Iturea and Draconitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the desert, make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked ways shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all mankind shall see the salvation of God. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.
This is our last opportunity for most of us to be here in the chapel for Mass in preparation for Christmas. So it's a very important Mass, very important day. And it's interesting how Holy Mother of the Church, through the liturgy, is focusing us. Because today is a culmination, really, of several days. Hopefully you've been following your Missal, which is your guidebook to how to pray, how to believe, how to know about God. And we've seen the last few days, the Ember Days. You heard about them last week. On Sunday, you heard about them. So if you were praying in your Missal these last few days, you will have seen those days, how the stational church for the first one, which is Ember Wednesday, and the gospel for that Mass is the Annunciation. The stational church was St. Mary Major. And then the gospel for Ember Friday was that of the Visitation of Our Lady to St. Elizabeth. And so we are happy to have on the vestment today, you saw the Blessed Mother's image, because she has been guiding us these last few days. And in this Mass, we're going to see it in the offertory. We're going to hear the cry of St. Gabriel, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Hopefully we heard and remember some of the things from the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Just the words I said, I can't say anything else, but just to let you know. They are exactly the description of the Blessed Mother, but more, her Son. We'll have to only leave you with that thought. Obviously full of grace. The Lord is with thee. The Trinity is with the Son in the flesh. The Blessed Mother then is the one that's going to be guiding us. She has been these last few days, and she's going to be increasing in importance as we come, of course, to Christmas. And we've already heard this about these personages, but we're saying it again because they loom over the season. And of course, it's the prophet Isaiah. He is everything. All the texts are from him, the introit. All these last few days, all the days leading up, all the readings at Matins, that's the divine office, is all from this prophet. I'll tell you one thing that the liturgists talk about. It'd be a great thing to be part of something like this. Because Lent was the first season, all around the resurrection of our Lord. That was the first liturgical season. Advent came later. And you can see it's not as developed as Lent. Lent has a mass, specific mass for every day of Lent. And the liturgists say, wouldn't it be nice if Advent had that? And the thought that comes is something like this. If that day ever comes, will that be a hidden mystery of the sign of the end? If Advent is ever developed to the point where there's a mass for every day of Advent, is that a prequel to the second coming? Just saying. But Isaiah is dominant, and he is pointing the way 8 centuries before Christ to our Lord and his mother and he who will be the prophet, the one that you will be able to tell that the Son of God is coming, and that's St. John the Baptist. And here in the Gospel of St. Luke for today's Mass, and it's been repeated, we've heard this several times already in Advent. The Pharisees actually sent people to question St. John the Baptist. Who are you if you are not the Christ? Who are you? He did not even identify himself as a person. He said, I am a voice. I am a sound. I am nothing. And so he's going to be, and we're going to talk about that here. We're just talking about these personages first, and then we have the Blessed Virgin Mary. And just for those who have the ability to come on Christmas Eve, and if you're not able to come on Christmas Eve, here's the little liturgical secret. You can be part of it now and that day and read about it. There's one more person that Holy Mother of the Church does not want to leave out. And I think you may know who I'm thinking of. Saint Joseph. And as is his character, he is the man of silence. Saint John the Baptist just identified himself as a sound. Saint Joseph is more humble. He is silent. There are no words from Saint Joseph recorded in the scripture. He is the man of silence. But Holy Mother of the Church will not forget him. And so on Christmas Eve, the gospel is all about Saint Joseph. Little mystery there for us to remember. So we've outlined who these people are, and their tremendous influence in these days. What is it that the Holy Mother Church wants us to know about this Mass? As it starts out, it's the introit Drop down, you heavens, dew from above. It's Isaiah the prophet telling us, look, in these, this right, this analogy, this metaphor from nature, how this life-giving dew comes down and reaches this barren, dry land, the desert. And what happens? It fructifies, fertilizes, and makes life come from this earth. What is the prophet telling us? God is going to send life down and place it inside the earth, that is, into the Blessed Virgin Mary, and she will bring forth the Savior. And this is the cry, the Holy Mother Church, taking the words of the prophet and making it come forth for us, praying that it happen, that we be part of it. That's just the beginning of the Mass. And then the collect, and that's leading up to what this Mass is about in detail. The collect is telling us, stir up your power and come and remove those obstacles to your life with us. What is the obstacle? Well, it's original sin and actual sin. So that's what the collect's asking for. And now we're moving to the heart of this Mass, because it's interesting. Now, we already know, just to remind us, not to go into detail, but remember that we are preparing for Christmas, renewing the first Sunday of Advent. Remember that, the talk? It was all about how the liturgy is past, present, and future. Because God is, of course, above space and time. So when we tap into God, we are seeing everything as one. We don't do any, we can't do that. But in God we can. The liturgy makes it happen. We are part of it. So we are doing past, present, and future. So what are we looking at here? The past, we're going to renew Christmas. We'll relive it with all of the people there, the angels, the wise men, the shepherds. We're going to be right there. We know that's the case because we do it every day at Mass. We're at the foot of Calvary every time. So we're all used to this. And then it's the present. It's a moment for each of us in our day today. And then it's for the future. Christ will come again. That's all happening here. So at this moment, what is Holy Mother Church directing us towards? It's directing us towards, it's reminding us of what's going to happen renewing Christmas Day, Bethlehem. But you see, we're not talking, we're talking about St. John the Baptist as an adult. At this point in the life of Christ, Christ himself is about 30 years old. How is that fitting in? This is Christmas. He's born, he's a little baby. Because the church is emphasizing just today, it's for us right now to be ready. Let Christ come into your life right now. And how is that going to happen? And St. John comes forward and tells us, repent. And it describes him as, what is he doing? He's preaching, but what is he doing? He has a baptism of water. He says, just as I am just a voice, I am not worthy to undo his sandals. My baptism is just a preparation. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He will bring the sacrament. I'm just giving a preparation. And we can't describe, as you may have heard in the past, remember from the past, all about the baptism of St. John the Baptist and his tremendous appeal to all peoples of all walks of life, even the most hardened, those publicans, those very tough people like these soldiers, these mercenaries. They're all coming to him and listening to him and saying, what are we to do? How are we to be saved? And then he would tell them what to do. He was the counselor. So what is that? We want to make sure everyone realizes the importance. You know it, but just to remind you, because the church is telling us, the sacrament of penance. So hopefully everyone will have a long line of people going to confession. Sometimes we've had extra priests, even in not old days, I was not part of the old days, but even those days, Christmas, there were priests in the confessional. I'm saying that because there are like usually four confessionals, not just one. And then they would have a religious priest from a neighboring novitiate come in, and in the center of one of the pews, he would just sit there, he'd just have his hand up, and people would go to confession to him right in the pew. I think Father's done that sometimes. So he might come up to the communion rail and just do that. And that's how many people are going to confession. So not that I want to give the priest who's doing confessions more work, but yes, he's happy to do it. So anyone just, and then if you want to go during the week, just tell us, because that's what we're here for. And oh, that's another thing just to say, well, it's really the other part of this Mass. How do we get this sacrament? We get it from our Lord coming, dying on the cross, and giving it to us. And he gave it on Easter Sunday as the sign to the apostles who had let him down. He had no grudge against them. He was forgiving them. And he gave them the power. They had the power, but he gave them the sacrament to do it for everyone else, the sacrament of penance. So what is in conjunction with the sacrament of penance today? I'm saying it because it's a little bit, it seems like it's out of place. But when you know what's going on, it's not. That is the sacrament of holy orders. Because this Christ child, the infant king, the Prince of Peace, is the great high priest. And this Mass is to remind us of that. How is that happening? By the way, there was only a few people here, of course, family, but the profession of Brother Joel on Friday, very significant, because that's one of these days of ordination for the priests. And so that profession took place on that day. It's a wonderful ceremony. I think you can still see it on the website. Listen to the sermon for that day. But that was so appropriate. What actually happened in Rome, where we are Roman Catholics, so the stational church for today is that of the Church of the Holy Apostles. And that is to remind everyone that these were the first priests. And when were these first priests made in the Roman church? Because we're copying the Roman liturgy. We're living it. In the early days of the church, December was reserved for ordinations. And when they would record the works of the Pope, they would say in two ordinations, that would be in two different Decembers, this Pope made so many bishops, made so many priests, deacons, and so on. And so I want to make sure you understand what's happening. The gospel for this Mass is exactly the same gospel as the Mass for yesterday, Ember Saturday. What was happening? So Wednesday and Friday, yes, they were penitential days and all that, but they were days to get ready for the ordinations. And yesterday was the ordinations. I say ordinations because it was this day, if you looked at your missal, has many readings. It has five readings from the Old Testament, then it has an epistle, and then it has the gospel. And what's happening, we cannot go through all this. And Isaiah says, well, he's all the readings except for the reading from Daniel, and he's got all of the introit and everything else. And what's happening at every point of the way, the bishop is ordaining. So he first starts out after the Kyrie, he does tonsure. And then after the first reading, he does the porters. And then he does the lectors. And then he does the exorcists. And I'm not telling you that, but it's designated after each of these different readings. There are five of them. So he's doing ordinations after these readings. And then he does the acolytes. And now he's going to move into the major orders. And he does the subdeacons. And then the one of those subdeacons that's done, if it's just one, it's him, he comes up and he exercises his office right then at the Mass, and he chants the epistle. And then after the epistle, then the deacons. And one of them comes up and exercises it by chanting the gospel. And the priests. And they're going to be offering the Mass with the bishop from that time to the end. This is what's going on. So the priests are being made. And now you understand why St. Paul in this epistle is talking about these stewards of the mysteries of Christ. Do you hear him talking about that? Where's this coming from? It's coming from the ordinations. It used to be that they didn't have a mass for today because the ordinations were done as an Easter vigil type thing. It was a vigil mass. And it went all the way, started late last night and went into the early hours of the morning. And so the people had already gone to mass. It was like Easter Sunday. But then when this thing is developed and, you know, they weren't doing this as much, they had to construct today's mass just extending yesterday's ordination mass. So we have that gospel. Now, I'd like to give you, because it's about the priests, of course, but it's about you. The sacraments are for men. That is a basic law of sacramentology. The sacraments are for men. We'll leave it at that. Just to let you, again, if you, just to hear these things. From the first reading in Isaiah, this is the prophet saying, I, God, will scourge Egypt with a plague. We know the history. And they will be converted. Because I have more, I can't go into that, but I think you might be able to hear. You know, I will purge, I will purify the world with a flood, and people will be converted. I will scourge the world with disease, war, calamities. Why? So they will be converted, and they will be. Second reading. Take courage and fear not. The blind will see. The lame will walk. You know the rest of it. Third, behold, your God comes, and he shall be as a shepherd and feed the flock. These are the readings. You can hear that, the pastors of the church. He will call thee by name. God knows each of us by name. That's how much he will call each of us. And he will humble, make those mountains and hills low. And then he goes into the book of Daniel, where, you know the story, this fire is to burn up these followers of Christ, in the Old Testament. Can't go through the details. And they had the fire so intense to kill them that it was burning the people stoking the fire. It was rising up, said 49 cubits. That's like over 50 feet high. And what happened? Angel just came down and just stood in the midst of these three young men, and they were perfectly fine. And they made this great hymn of praise, which is then sung at that point in the Mass. So that the fire doesn't touch it. Now, just so we know, I have to do a slight philosophical point. You've heard it in the past, but just to remind you of this, there is you know the term transubstantiation. All Catholics know that. What is that? That is that the substance of the bread, right now on the paten, right there underneath the chalice veil, there is a altar bread, and that's what it is. It's made for the altar, but it's bread. So the substance of that material thing is the substance of bread. Transubstantiation, as you know, is that with the power of the priest at the consecration, there is the substance is transferred. It's transported away. So that bread, which has a substance holding it, substance just means sub, like submarine, under, stance is standing. It's what's underneath the thing that's standing there. That's what substance is. And transubstantiation is that substance that's upholding that bread and making it bread, that is transported away. And another substance comes, and we know what that is. It is Christ himself. So Christ is there. He is now supporting, as we call it, the accidents, the appearances of the bread. And that's what we all know as Catholics. It's not bread anymore. It's Christ. But the appearances are still there. See, what should happen is, at the consecration, our Lord just is standing there. But he does a double miracle. Because he's there, but he's there hidden under the appearances of bread and wine. It's a double miracle we're seeing. Well, you know that. That takes place in an instant. There's no, like I'm showing it this way, but it happens instantaneously. Because that's a philosophical point, that something whether to be or not to be, either you are or you're not. So we know it from our Catholic transubstantiation, but we know it in life too, and we know it especially in death. We have a term that we say, this person was or is dying. That is simply a colloquial way of saying it. A person is either alive or dead. There is no such thing as dying. Now, we use that to describe somebody who's failing in health, and we understand what it means. But technically, there's just the state of death. Once somebody's dead, they're not dying. They're dead. There's a moment that the soul leaves, and it's an instant, and the person is dead. I'll give you, now, just so you know that, just so we don't get confused. So you see, you can either be a member of the church or not. Just so no one's fooled. You're either a member of the church or you're not a member of the church. You're not 1% member. You're not 50% a member. You're not even 99% a member. You're either 100% a member or you're zero. Because it is a substantial change. You're either in or out. Just to remember, whenever you hear these catchwords, full communion. There's only one. It's either full or nothing. Just so you know. And that has been expressed by Father to the powers that be. And they know, as one bishop said to me when I balked at his use of the term. Well, he didn't use it. Somebody else did. And I balked at that. And he just said, Father Ward doesn't like that term. Because it doesn't mean anything. You're in or you're out. Okay. That point about substantial change and it's instantaneous. This is the universe God has set up. That's the way he operates. So you have to remember this. That because there's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of pressures from the outside. There's a lot of pressures in our lives, our own health and uncertainty and everything. But you have to remember this big point. It will only be a moment and everything will change. And you may have had these moments in your life already. These magical, miraculous moments when everything changes in an instant. That's what we're living for. That God is going to, and that's the whole message of Christmas. I cannot, as I like, well, I'll just show you this. This is the epistle from yesterday's Mass, because these two Masses, today and yesterday, so much we can't say. I cannot read it yourself, yesterday's epistle. He's telling these people, these Thessalonians, do not be worried. You're all afraid. You know there's a lot of bad things happening. He's telling the Thessalonians. It's the Holy Ghost telling us. There are a lot of bad things happening. And he tells them, I already taught you these things. Certain signs are supposed to happen to let you know when the second coming will be. You can find those out. But he says at the end of this section, he says, and when the wicked one will be revealed, that's the Antichrist. You can see why is this being talked about in Advent, because it's looking to the future. Whom the Lord Jesus will slay with the breath of his mouth and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. It's a moment. That's what we're all living for. We're living for that moment. We have to endure. We have to be brave. We have to do all these things. But that is the encouragement here. And we, unfortunately, will have to stop. I do want to just say, and I've got it all here again, but just to tell everybody, because we're talking about, now I'm going back to the penance and how we have to fight to get these sins out of the way for Christ to live in us and to make us saints. And taking the cue from our Lord in the first Sunday of Lent, how to fight temptation. You know, it is written, and the devil attempts, and he says, it is written, the Lord thy God thou shalt worship. And again, you have to find your own scriptures that help you with whatever are your own predominant faults. I gave one last time. I was going to give more here, but I can't because of the time. So I just tell you that. The scriptures are your powerful weapon to fight these things. But I do want to give you this one last thing. First, I do want to correct something. When I gave a story a few weeks ago, I didn't identify. I told about this little 8-year-old who's an adult, you know, middle-aged, you know, later than that man, telling me about being 8 years old and what he saw happening in the school and, you know, and his father telling him, don't worry. If you recall the story, it's a little boy saying to the father who was trying to do something right in the school, and the little boy saying to the father, but Dad, they hate you. And the father just said, that's okay. As long as we're doing what God wants, that's all that counts. You remember that. The only thing I didn't tell you this, but some people were getting, that teacher was a young man who was, I mean, you know, he was, whatever, 30, I guess, whatever. But he was just a man who he had been divorced or something. So, you know, just to let you know, because it was speculation, who is this person? Just to let you know that's all I'm doing there. I want to show you this, and you see it, how grace is moving, and in a big way. We don't see it because it's all hidden. We'll see it when that instantaneous change comes. Because when Noah was floating away in the ark, people were converting. And they were lamenting, we didn't listen. That's a good thing for us. We have to remember to be able to reach out to the people that will need us when the time comes that they realize. It's not going to be, oh, told you, we were right. No. Reach out to them. Here's something. Someone had a moment and reached out saying, can you just send me, what do you have? Like, what do you, I mean, Catholic, but, you know. well, scapulars, miraculous medals, masses you can have, rosaries. Can you send me things? So a little spiritual care package. This is what was sent back in an email. In my youth, we had three anchors: family, faith, country. I feel all are under siege now. Constant and steady as the moorings weaken more and more often. This is a regular person seeing through it. This thought was prompted by how some spend their Sundays. He's observing. They stay at home, alone, watching TV. Mom and dad were out. The brothers are playing soccer. Then I thought how we spent our Sundays, dressed up for church, meeting extended family for donuts, bacon and eggs, leading to the family supper, often with relatives and others. No football on TV. No TV at all day until Walt Disney, and then off to bed with Bonanza's opening credits. So I guess he's dating himself there. The only shopping, us walking up to the ice cream store for a quart of ice cream to bring back to the family. I hear today so often, people have no time. Listen to this. If people would turn off the TV, put down their cell phones, log off their computers and social media, and not go shopping in the mall, they would have all the time in the world, like we did, for what really mattered. I share that with you because there are many of us out there. They may not have helped Noah build the ark, but when they see the rains coming and the flood happening, they are responding. You may know of these people yourself. They are responding, and we need to be there to give them the hope that they need, that they want, they're reaching out for. What do you have? Send me. Send them to me. I need them. So as we prepare for Christmas, and we have to prepare, we have to give up our own evil ways, but we have to also go with great confidence that our Lord will slay all his enemies with the breath of his mouth. May God bless you.